PFT Media.
Yeah, baby! Celebrating the end of the beginning! It is... What is the name of this show?
Devils in the Details.
That's what it is! It just threw me off because we're playing our old intro music from the old podcast. Listen, you're listening to Devils in the Details. Wow, that's for real, dude.
Yeah.
That wasn't even playing. I totally forgot the name of the show.
That song gets to you.
Oh, so good. Oh, Danzig. And then you got punched in the face.
Yeah.
By just a complete stranger and knocked out cold. It's Pedro Lima, Dan Perella, the super producer, Chris Crespo.
What's up?
Providing the shelter that is the Crespo Diesel Dome studio facility brought to you.
The Palacio studio. Mm-hmm.
By the media. PFT.
Correct.
Stands for quality.
Yes.
Joining us is, it's... the reason why I started doing podcasts, honestly.
Yep.
Very good friend of the show. Very good friend overall.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan number one, everybody.
Start forming a line, ladies. Start forming a line.
It's the dude, I remember, if I would have listened to Ryan.
Yeah.
From every idea that he's had.
Except one.
I don't think even... I think that one was still even good.
Diaspora?
No, yeah.
That didn't work out. No.
Diaspora.
Yeah. We would have been making money in podcasting. Because he saw this before it even became a thing.
Yeah. It was pretty early that we started doing it.
He started with the Stand Up Orlando kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like he wanted to do... comics go out and they throw out little clips. Mm-hmm. And then, you know...
I think we started 2010.
Check this out. By the time we quit, podcasting still hadn't taken off.
Yeah.
So when did it start, Ryan?
2006.
It was a six,
yeah,
right?
Right before my son was born.
Okay.
So yeah. Six, yeah. And then we did Stand Up Orlando for a couple of years. I know he had somebody else hosting. Then we would come in and do something else, and then Fifth Base was born.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's when the fun really began.
Oh, yeah.
That's when the most famous episode that we will never be allowed to air is the Telecom episode, which is, yeah. I don't understand why you did not see that one up front, but I do appreciate the fact that you just let it roll. Like, yeah, I don't see a problem with the content on this.
Yeah, you know... Had I let that roll and had somebody heard it, my wife would not be in the position that she's in now, and we would not be moving to Pennsylvania.
In charge of Hersheyland.
Nice.
Is it Hersheyland?
No, it's Sesame Place.
Sesame Place.
Sesame Place, really?
That's great. My friend Guy Hutchinson wrote a whole book about that place.
About Sesame Place?
Yes. He has a book about Sesame Place.
What about it?
No shit.
The whole history and everything of it.
About how amazing
His
it
name's
is.
Guy Hutchinson. Is really? He has a podcast called Drunk on Disney.
When I was a kid, it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You went to that place?
He wrote
Yeah, because I grew up up north. Yeah, I went there. Honestly, must have been 6 years old, so I have very vague memories of it. But those memories are tied to, like, good feelings.
I told my wife about it. She's so excited over it. I'm still like, what? I feel like this is a brand new place. It was just...
No, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, I went there in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it opened in 1980. I just went there for the first time last week, or 10 days ago, or something like that.
Well, it must be different going there as an adult for the first time. You look around at a place that's designed for kids, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Unless you're Kevin Spacey, then you're just like, yeah.
Hi-yo!
The candy. They keep getting busted. They keep
getting busted.
Man. Stupid idiots.
Can you really get... Okay, so...
Okay, here we go.
You're mad at Kevin Spacey.
The Kevin Spacey defense. Here it comes.
Here it is. This is it. Right. Full disclosure, I really want to see the last season of House of Cards.
It's not going to happen. All right? You're going to see it.
So I'm upset about that. But if he was a hot school teacher...
Uh-huh.
And...
Female.
Female school female teacher. Hot.
Okay, that's very
14
important.
To 17 years old, you know, a kid gets seduced by this hot school teacher.
Right.
Nobody has a problem with it. No. But he's Kevin Spacey, the actor, and he got his problem.
Yes, and he, you know, pushed on a 14-year-old boy.
From what I heard, though,
that just wanted to lead his theater lines.
I just heard it in passing, so I don't know the full story. I didn't bother reading up on it because whatever. But I just, from what I heard, is that he did hit on the kid and everything, and then the kid left.
He jumped on him in bed.
Oh, he jumped on him in bed. Okay, well, there we go then.
14 years old.
Well, that's weird then.
Yeah. And 14, but if you look at a picture of him at the age of 14, he looked like he was 12. Like, he looked like he could have been in the cast of Stranger Things. Like a young 12 then?
Yeah.
He had the ass of a 10-year-old.
Oh, wow.
That's what Stacey liked?
That's okay. He was drunk and gay at the time, according to Spacey.
Yeah. Yo, that's the craziest. Craziest defense.
I'm drunk and gay.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're free to go.
Fair enough.
There you go.
That's not how I would come out.
I don't think that's how the gay community wants you to come out either.
Glad was not happy with that one.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't use that rainbow shield for that. That don't work.
The headquarters are going crazy. The alarms are going up. He used it wrong.
No.
Damage control.
That's not your pass. Man.
It was really interesting that that he said, I choose to live as a gay man.
I choose now to live as a gay man.
That must be the only gay man that has ever chosen.
Good. Yeah. It is a choice. See, I've been telling you all along. It's a goddamn choice.
The president of South Carolina.
I'm a get it. And I've always been a get it.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that, dude. That's that pastor.
Right. I'm a get it.
I'm a get it.
How would David Bowie have come out?
Yeah, did he ever come out?
There were a lot of allegations after he died, though, that came out. Right. As far as him and himself Mickey, on younger
I thought
women.
It was always... you just know that he's like... He was bi. He's openly bi. Yeah. Ziggy Stardust going all the way back to those days.
I mean, him and Jagger, of course. Especially when they made that video.
We can't channel him.
We can't channel
him right now.
Can you ask David Bowie how it...
David Bowie... Seance music going on.
Do we have a seance music?
I don't think I do.
Hello, devils in the details.
Hey, David Bowie, thank you for coming here. This is Ryan's last two shows here in Florida.
Oh, excellent. I'm glad I've been around here for that.
Okay. Did you hear about Kevin Spacey, David Bowie?
Yes, I heard about Kevin Spacey 10 years ago. I set the trend for molestation.
What?
Yes.
What? How?
There's many things I've done and many things I will do, even though I'm dead. And most of them are trend-setting. I was the one who told him to jump on the little boy.
Wait, hold on.
That's outrageous.
It's a leap of faith, which was supposed to be my next album before I died.
So wait, the China girl line, was that just like a cover-up?
It was actually supposed to be a Thai girl, so it was left ambitious, but they changed it on me.
A little Thai guy, Thai girl.
It's supposed to be everything, you know. A little bit of that, a little bit of this, but they changed it.
Yeah.
Didn't think it would work.
The simple pleasures in life.
That's why I had to do Labyrinth after that.
Yeah. And it sucks that we never got to get your version of Gremlins remake.
Yes, of course, as you all know.
You were working hard on that on your deathbed, and that's where it stayed. And
it was my magnum opus.
Yeah, so... Hi, David Bowie. Well, thank you for coming through.
Not at all. I shall now go back into the heavens, where we have the final episode of House of Cards.
What? They have it, Ryan.
Oh, man.
They have it. Oh,
I have
man.
To wait till I die?
And now Louis C.K. is...
Yeah, I got pulled.
Louis C.K. I knew those rumors have been going on for quite a while, so I was just waiting for it to come out. Mm-hmm. And because I said it once, Kevin Spacey got out. It's like, does anybody know where Louis C.K. is?
Yes,
oh,
wait,
Harvey Weinstein got busted.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
Go back episode 7. Listen.
Yep. Do you know where Louis C.K. boat is at? Mm-hmm. Because he's next. Mm. And then I heard, and this was from one stand-up comedian that I work with in July about the Charlie Sheen Corey Haim story.
I did not hear about that, but
yeah, apparently he
Sheen and Haim.
Finger popped Corey Haim.
Oh, that sucks.
kind of thing. Just it said, "Welcome to Hollywood." Kind of.
How does that come up in a green room comedy club conversation?
Hey, just I guess the just. Just
how you doing?
Snuck up on him, just like.
No, I'm saying, how does that conversation come up? Hey, how you doing? I see you ready for tonight's show. Did you get something to eat? I did. Did you know Kevin Spacey stuck his finger up Corey's butt?
Well,
I did not know that.
Well, they were in the green. The headline and the feature were already in the green room. I guess they were having some LA talk, and it was walking in. There was like, yeah, no, dude, it's well known.
So they were already. You walked in.
And they were talking about green rooms and all that stuff.
They were talking about casting couch type stories.
Casting couch.
Gotcha.
And stuff.
Okay.
I was
just wondering.
Then Steven Seagal. I've heard this.
This
story.
I refuse to believe.
The Steven Seagal one?
So. I don't think he's attracted to anyone but his own reflection. So I am against this.
I do have to say, that though, that the Charlie Sheen, Corey Haim thing was on the set of Lucas, which what else are you going to do when you're filming that pile of shit?
you want to do something?
Throw it at Lucas! What was it? The McCarthy, Jenny McCarthy talked about the Steven Seagal thing.
Right.
Yeah. And, she said it was an episode in Conan. Mm-hmm. She did an interview, and then she said that she was it was for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Under Siege or Under Siege 2 or Part 3.
Probably Under Siege, because that's where Erica Eleniak that's where because she got that job. I mean, she the first shot you see her, she's showing her breasts.
Yeah. Right.
Her breastlessness. So obviously, he's like every actress coming through. Let me see them. I'm going to eat the sandwich. Let me see what you got.
You know. That's too much charisma.
Yeah.
That's too much charisma.
You got to sound like a bored Marlon Brando. Yeah.
I was a Seagal fan, actually. So.
But Jenny McCarthy talked about, like, he was in a, it was, it, this was in a sauna kind of thing, and he smelled like olive oil.
Wow. Okay, that's probably from his sub. That was probably his dinner.
Do you, like, if you're Steven Seagal and you're like, I've banged Kelly LeBrock.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got
they kid. Were married.
Wait, what?
They have a kid. She's a daughter who is a plus size model, and she is
really
attractive. Yes, and she's very attractive. Dude, aside from the fact that she
you had me
looks
a plus
like
size.
Steven Seagal.
You have me a plus size. That's my thing.
Hey, and she's a good looking lady. But if you look close enough, especially if she's standing next to him, she looks like Steven Seagal.
Does she have the painted on hairline?
It's gonna get there. It's dark hair. Dark hair is gonna get there.
But like, you know, you're like, I think a lot of these guys are like, oh, I've had this girl, and you're gonna say no to me? I think that's kind of what's going on.
It becomes a power thing.
Right, yeah. Yes. That's where the power thing comes
in. Additionally, I heard, according to Jenny McCarthy, that the insertion of his penis is what also caused autism.
Yes.
So,
she did call him ground zero of autism.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it.
It explains everything.
Bit of a dubious
So now he's a spokesperson for Russia. And from there, we go to today's lesson, everybody.
Yay! Hey.
What you got for us, Danny?
Well, we're going to break it down. We're going to, because a topic that's on everybody's mind, or at least always discussed, socialism and communism.
Okay.
Always on my mind.
Let's talk about those, because it's really, in America, we love to be very extreme about both of them. Either we love it or we hate it. Wait. And I don't think a lot of people really know what it is.
I don't think America loves any communism.
Or isms.
Right.
Capitalism.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a group of Americans who really love socialism.
We fought. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's.
So we've got a very interesting history.
Okay.
You know, and you know, we're going to get way back even before America even starts. Before even socialism gets on paper here.
Okay.
But, you know, to get you, you know, this kind of love-hate relationship with America, it's, and we'll get to communism, is in our history, we are faster to vilify and clamp down on communists than we are Nazis.
I think it's the branding.
It's gotta be.
It's the branding. The Nazis had a logo.
Uh-huh.
And
Hugo Boss
tight,
design.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have uniforms.
Right.
Yeah.
Because communism comes out in 1917, Soviet Union. By 1920, we're in already a first Red Scare in America. No, communism bad. Hitler starts rising up. There's actually a Nazi party in America before the war breaks out. They're like, you know what? Let's give these guys a chance.
That was the party, by the way.
Yeah.
But Nazi, a nationalist party.
Yeah, a Nazi party. They were called the National Socialists of America.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, it was a Nazi party of America.
Were they good guys? I'm afraid to ask.
They kind of stopped. Spoiler alert. There was a drop in part. There was a drop in party membership after 1941.
Okay.
For some reason,
the party just stopped after a while.
I'm so out of the loop. I need more information.
Yeah. We'll get to that a little bit later. All right.
So wait. Okay. So socialism.
You know, and a lot
We're going to what? Greece?
Pretty far back. I mean, it's really the idea of socialism is kind of early government services to its populace. And we've always had that. In the beginnings of civilizations. This is why a lot of people kind of latch on to socialism, is because for Westerners, you know, Western Europeans, white people, et cetera, it's kind of ingrained in their history, and that's why it's so hard to let go of, and that's why you get so many people who want these services. So you go back to Greece, you go back to the Roman Empire. I mean, the idea of taxes in exchange for services really starts there with the roads. Okay, so you have all these roads forming here with the Roman Empire as
Tom Rhodes.
Yeah, Tom Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, all the Rhodes that you have. The Colossus of Rhodes.
Hot times.
Right. So, I mean, it goes all the way back from there. And if you were a Roman citizen, you paid your taxes. It was actually a pretty good deal.
So you pay your taxes, you're allowed to get on the road kind of deal?
I mean, they were free for any Roman citizen, anyone to use, really.
Okay, as long as you paid the taxes.
Yeah, as a Roman citizen, you're going to pay a tax.
Paying for something.
Yeah, that's what they paid for. Paid for the taxes, paid for the temples. Paid for the city itself. Paid for the spas. You got free spa service.
Wait, what? They had spa services.
They had the bathhouses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's where it started.
Yeah, you know, anybody could just go in and enjoy your
Kevin
spa.
Kevin Spacious.
Conspacious, Weinstonius.
Weinstonius was
all there. All of the greats, yeah. You know, and then Louis Cicaeus.
Cicaeus.
Marcus Lucas Cicaeus. Yeah. So it was, it's all the way back in Rome. They gave them all this police force, fire service, everything like that.
Okay.
And it went into the medieval period too as well.
But was it like, okay, so my thing about socialism is, my perception is, okay, everybody has their, regardless what they do, this is what you get. Or is that more?
That's more communism.
More communism, okay.
Right, more communism. Socialism is definitely things like fixing prices so that nobody's gouging you.
Okay.
Making sure everyone gets a fair wage.
Okay.
There's definitely some control of natural resources.
Okay.
You know.
Who controls it?
The government.
Okay.
The big guys on top, essentially.
That's where the problem starts.
And of course, today socialism talks about taxing the higher taxes for the super wealthy, and that stems from the medieval period, the Middle Ages. It was really that the peasants, their job was to be the noble class, because they were on top, because they had everything. They believed that they had an obligation to the poor to take care of them. It was called the noblesse oblige. The obligation of the nobles.
Okay.
So it was like, I got all this stuff. It is my responsibility to hand it out to you.
And this is the Romans are doing this.
This is medieval period now. Roman Empire is gone. But this idea that, we have all this stuff. We're getting all these things. And this is one of those, like, the pros and cons of having a religion control you. You know, with the power of the Catholic Church, it was kind of like, no, you better look after those peasants or you're banished to hell type of thing.
Because
you want the pearly gates.
Religious guilt and...
So yeah, sure. Guilt. So this is more English. Is this not the English?
All of Europe.
All of Europe.
Everyone's Catholic at this point.
Shit. So everybody's getting guilted to giving some shit away.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Yeah. It's not the government telling you, you got to pay it up. Like today's, you know, socialism. It's just that fear that you're not going into heaven if you don't.
Is the Vatican still scheming from the top?
Oh, of course they are. Of course they are. No. This is we're not putting a good light here on the Vatican at all in the Middle Ages. But it was that fear of religion that caused these nobles to actually treat their people somewhat fairly.
You know?
We get this idea of the medieval peasant as some guy who kind of just rolls around in mud all day and toils. They actually had a pretty decent life. For that
covered
time
in
period.
Mud,
right.
Rolling
for that time period. Yeah, they didn't have rights, but again, at the time, nobody really had rights. You didn't know what you were missing because you never had it in the first place type of thing. So we, you know, we look back and now it's like, oh my God, these poor
peasants.
Better
times.
Right. So, and they got all the church holidays off. So, you know, as a working man in a non-socialist society, Pedro, how many days off do you actually get?
I
factor in weekends, vacations, holidays.
You're lucky if you get nights off.
Well, weekends, I mean, if I just count the weekends, that's already 104.
Right.
Good math.
Then I get my 2 weeks vacation, so I throw 14 days on that.
Okay, so you're at 118.
I got my sick days that I can use, throw 7 days on that.
All right, 125.
And then let's sprinkle maybe six holiday. No, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and there's Christmas, 2 days in Thanksgiving, and New Year's. That's 5 days.
Don't forget King Lee Jackson Day.
Yes, that's July 4th. So
let's... About 131 days you get off.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So did they. You know? And that was it. They got all the Sundays off, of course, because it was a holy day. So that's 52 right there. Then they got all the religious holidays. In the Catholic Church, there were about 80 or something different saints' days and religious holidays. So you're looking at the guys getting about the same thing, 132, 135 days off, these peasants there.
So by days off, that's just, that means that those are the days they don't get whipped?
they don't have to work the field, yeah.
Yeah, they don't get, so they don't get to work on the field kind of deal.
They don't have to work on the field.
So then when they come back from their days off, do they have like overtime on the Monday? Because it's like, listen, we went 2 days without working and...
They actually didn't have to work that much for the Lord's land. Most of the land that they worked is their own land that they were given as part of the rental service. They just had to pay a portion of those crops to the Lord as rent.
So they have to work that land to make sure they can eat.
And, absolutely.
And survive already. They're already. They have to work it.
Right.
Did they not have slaves back at that?
Not in Europe.
No?
At this really? Time. Slavery for Europeans.
How did that fall out of fashion?
So they were trying to be very anti-Roman when the Roman Empire fell. And one of the things Rome had was slaves, so they were kind of like anti-slavery. Sure. That part of Christianity seemed to survive. They weren't of original Christianity. They weren't really big on the fact of enslaving their fellow Christians.
Mm.
And there wasn't really anyone else of another religion, so slavery kind of died out.
There was no other to enslave.
There was no real other religion. There were a few Jews, but they had to run the banks. So... they didn't have slaves. They just had the serfs, the peasants.
Interesting.
And they came up with this arrangement, this social contract with the government. And it was an obligation of the...
Western Europe didn't have no black slaves out there?
No, there were no black slaves
right there,
Europe.
Too. You know, yeah. They're so close was, to Africa.
Yeah.
No, they didn't start using them until the New World.
So you... Wait. This is... So when Columbus went to... That's when it started.
That's when it started. It was a guy by the name
of the United States. It's like, we like this idea.
Yeah, it was a guy by the name of Bartholomew de las Casas. Yeah, and that's when that started there.
Of the houses.
Of all the houses.
I remember
yes.
this. Nice. Bob Costas is a brother.
Costas means coast.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Bobby Coast. Okay, so what's the... When does it start, like, okay, we're not no longer... When does it start falling, like, out of fashion kind of thing?
This idea of the nobles taking care of the peasants? Yeah. When the peasants start wanting rights.
Oh, excuse me. Forgive.
That's what's happening now.
It was one of those, oh, so you want everything? Fine. If you want everything, you know what? I'll stop doing things for you. Do it yourself. And that's when it starts to fall out.
And but who's in charge when that's going on?
It's a
whole... Who's the head dude that kind of be like, well, you know what? Well, I don't want to curse yet. I'm doing good.
Yeah, you are doing good. With no markings yet.
Oh, was there an... Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Well, no.
We bleep.
F words. And then if you say that, mark it down, and then I bleep it.
How many times have I cursed so far?
None.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You said wow. I said shit a couple times. But we had all
shit is fine.
They say shit on cartoons on TV.
Uh-huh. So cool.
All right.
Kids can say
asshole is fine.
Asshole's fine.
You could have told me that going in. By the way,
I forgot the name of the show to begin with. What makes you think I'm going to remember the rules that we've implemented on this guy? All right.
Also, blasphemy is perfectly fine.
Blasphemy. Right.
Blasphemy. Yeah. Well, on Stand Up Orlando, we only had one rule that you couldn't say chinks. Mm. That was it.
That was That was to protect their chinks from being offended.
Right.
So. That's good.
All right.
So, protect the class.
The Noblesse of Liege. The Noblesse of Liege also, the lords, twice a year, put on a big feast for the peasants as well. Oh,
okay. So they get, okay, all right, the buffet table's open.
They got a big feast and all everything. Right. They forgave them their taxes every now and then.
Okay.
As a thank you for the service every year.
And then they got uppity.
And then they got uppity. And then the world changed, and something called the Agricultural Revolution happened. Second Agricultural Revolution.
The second one. What happened to the first one?
The first one was way back in the Neolithic period when we started domesticating plants and animals.
Okay.
So that was like the first civilizations of all time. The second Agricultural Revolution.
You know how weird it sounds to say domesticating the plants?
Whoosh! Back! Back, you fern! Watch out, he's going to jump.
I've been trying to tame this goddamn tomato tree.
Tame this broccoli.
I taught the potato to sit up.
Careful, there's a stampede of carrots coming. I see them grow. Okay.
All right.
So second agricultural revolution happened.
Earth goes through a warming period.
Oh, really?
Yes, the Earth goes through warming and cooling periods. That's a thing.
Fake news. Some fake news,
right?
Right. So more crops are abundant.
Okay.
Peasants are doing well for themselves.
All right.
Making a little bit more money for themselves.
Okay. All right.
We're starting to develop a leisure class because some of these, you know, peasants own a few acres of land, make enough money, buy a few more acres of land. Then they start hiring people to do the work for them while they go out and learn a trade. And their sons can learn a trade. So we're starting to get a middle class forming.
Okay.
The middle class starting to get some money. Middle class, now that they have money and trade, want the same rights as the nobles. They're starting to get educated, too. They want all this stuff that the nobles have. And now things are starting to break down. And now the peasants are going to want more rights and representations. And now the lords are giving them their freedom. But by giving them their freedom in their own lands, you don't get the protection of their knights.
I feel like you're giving me the plot to Braveheart kind of thing.
All right, right? Yeah, I mean, they were sure. A lot of that
we
stuff.
We introduce going. Prima Nocta.
Prima Nocta. Oh, I love that.
The prawn with Scotland. I get it. That dude was such an asshole.
Right.
That movie is so inaccurate. We could do an entire show just really? On how bad Braveheart
is. Pure inaccuracies.
Pure inaccuracies
no,
of Braveheart.
No, stop.
Yeah, starting with the kilts and then work your way from there.
Yeah. Next thing you're going to tell us that 300 is inaccurate. No, Slow your roll.
That one is actually closer than Braveheart was.
Stop. Do not ruin Braveheart.
The only thing worse than Braveheart as far as historical inaccuracy was Pearl Harbor.
Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor.
But other than that, yeah.
Also been another Transformers movie.
Yeah. So
don't ruin Braveheart.
I'm not going to ruin Braveheart. It's just not true.
It's Apocalypto.
It's not true.
Spot on.
Apocalypto, spot I mean, on. You know, the culture's pretty similar. But, you know, with Braveheart, it's kind of...
Hit the wrong button. I meant to hit this one. Nope.
What's that one?
Candy Crush.
This one. Wow, this is broken.
Okay.
My board is broken. I'm trying to hit the stay on target. You see that?
Oh, stay on target.
I was trying to hit stay on target.
Stay on target.
We're talking about...
Stay on target.
Yeah.
So it's basically, you want to be free. You don't want to be under me. You don't want to pay these taxes. Fine. You don't get all the services of the taxes then. You can't have your own stuff and still have the protection of my knights.
Knights?
The lords have the knights. Okay. That was part of the deal. You work the land for me.
Are we in England?
We're everywhere. There's France. Knights this everywhere? Is Germany. Yeah.
France has knights?
Yes.
Shut up.
In fact, the word knight comes from the French word knick.
Knick.
And actually, the French
connect from Greece.
Connect, which is the lieutenants of the knights who are the knight word for.
Did say nim?
The French word for knight is chevalier. That's where we get chivalry from.
Chivalry. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we got knights. Yeah.
Okay.
And the lords own the knights. And that's part of the service of paying your taxes is the knights protect your lands.
Like the police.
Mm-hmm. It was basically the police.
Armed or military. Armed services of some sort.
Taxes absolutely. Paid. It'd be a real shame if something happened to your turf here.
that's how they would do their tax.
That's right.
So as the middle class grows...
Okay.
And starts demanding similar rights to the lords, the protection for the lower class gets less and less because the lords, A, have less money from doing it, and B, are just kind of done with it then at that point. If you want to be equal to us and everything like that,
then work for it.
There's no noblesse oblige then. And so the growth of the middle class comes with the creation of capitalism and the destruction of what I call olden day socialism.
Okay.
And so why a lot of Europeans especially have attached themselves to socialism later on when it comes in the 19th century is because a lot of them miss the noblesse oblige. They remember that from their heritage, and they kind of want it back. They kind of want the wealthy class to be paying for everything like they did. So it has its roots. It has its origins. It's just not one day somebody decided, oh, I'm going to be lazy and ask the rich to pay for everything. There's roots to it, historical roots.
Yeah, but do you see that that doesn't tie up with the United States? Is never, like, the mentality of the United States is not that at all.
Because the United States is filled with people who rebelled against England. People who wanted to break away from the old structure and have elections, which is why we didn't have a gentry class in the first place. So yeah, it doesn't take the United States because these are people who didn't want the old way.
Get what you need, get what you want.
Right. And to make it in America, you have to have your own.
It's working out well so far. I mean, you know, the gap between the rich and the middle class just keeps shrinking over time.
Right.
Wait, what? When did this happen?
It's in the final episode of House of Cards.
it explains
everything.
Yeah, it happens later.
It's everything. So yeah, it's one of the reasons why the United States doesn't take the socialism, because it's filled with rebels who didn't want that old style, who didn't want the gentry class of the lords anymore. And that's kind of one of the... It's in our history to not want socialism. It's in Europe's history to be...
Now, do you believe that would help out, like... Overall, everybody doing that type of thing, knowing what you know now.
Right. Knowing what you know now. It is really hard to say. The problem with economics is that if you're pro-capitalism, pro-communist, social, it doesn't matter. The problem is when you talk with economics, you deal with facts and numbers, and you don't deal with faces. And it's easy to talk numbers without dealing with the faces that are going to suffer either way with this total change.
Says the man wearing pink headphones.
Yeah. So proudly.
Right. I'm very proud.
Because, I mean, you and I get the mentality of it. It's like, okay, so I'm busting my ass.
Right.
But I'm busting my ass for somebody that doesn't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, we got to take care of them.
Well, that's...
So
see, that's
where does it... You know what I mean? That's
the disconnect. We're not used to the medieval process because you were supposed to... Because in the medieval world, you were busting your ass for someone who was doing something for
okay.
you. He was the one that was the backbone of your economy. So you should. And that's the disconnect. We have so many unemployed where in the medieval period, because of the cooling period, because of the high mortality rate, you didn't have that many unemployed. Either you were in the fields or you were dead. So, yeah, people want the lords, the wealthy class, to look after them, and it really does work out well. That socialist society where the wealthy pay for everything, provided a majority of that country is employed and is working.
But back then, you're dealing with a time where people had to work to live, to survive, mm-hmm. to actually survive.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody had to pull their share to survive. Mm-hmm. And now we're reaching an age with automation and
technology.
All the jobs are going to be automated, mm-hmm. and yeah. There's not going to be any jobs for people.
Yeah, look at the cashiers at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
They have 72 lanes; only two of them are working.
All right,
but there's like 12
Target. Target's even worse because they have all the targets by all the cashiers,
uh-huh.
and like. You only see, like, out of 20 of them, you'll see, like, two of those bullseyes lit up.
And then you self-checkout kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So the technology has really...
Another problem with economics is that a lot of it doesn't factor in geography, climate, political situations. It deals with numbers, not people.
What do you think about universal basic income?
Again, it's...
Because I think that's where it's going.
It's a nice idea. Absolutely.
What's that one? Explain that to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's universal basic
income? So, if there's no jobs, people are going to have to... If there's no jobs to get, people are still going to have money to survive.
And yeah, right.
There's going to have to be some sort of socialist...
Mm-hmm.
So they get paid...
Socialist model, like... And they're trying to figure out what it's going to be. And so, now they're thinking universal basic income. Everybody gets enough money to have a roof over their head and food, you know, on their table, mm-hmm. and then they can do whatever they want. They don't have to work. I guess it's a better way of saying welfare, right?
Right.
But it's also supposed to keep everything humming along, because if no one has jobs, they can't get any money. If no one has money, they can't go buy goods and services.
Yeah.
And then the businesses all collapse. Mm-hmm. So the money has to be there for the economy to be running to begin with.
Yeah. So where does this money come from?
Just make more money. Go to the mint.
Print it out.
We're still working on it. We'll figure it out.
Get that 3D printer loaded up.
And you've had a lot of those problems. Germany had that problem in the 1920s with its republic. You had so many people out of work, and you were such in debt, you just kept printing money, and it imploded on yourself.
And a hero came along.
The hero is a very definite, interesting word for him. Yeah, absolutely.
He came up with his little wig and his tiny hands.
That's wrong.
No, it's the little...
Talking... No, okay. Is that what you... He didn't have a wig.
He didn't have a wig?
No.
It looked like a wig.
Yeah, because
it was just a shitty do.
You're good. Shitty's fine.
So, yeah, and that's the thing. So, you know, a lot of socialism comes from that early period. Even in China, the socialism was the emperors and the lords did for the peasants. That was their obligation for the nobles. And now we're trying to imply the same thing on countries that the nobles aren't in charge anymore. That's the problem. They don't have really religion, or at least that type of religion, to motivate them either.
What can we do to put the nobles back in charge?
Yeah, what's the deal? Yeah.
You can vote them back in charge. I know the descendant of Louis XVI of France, he runs in the elections every single time. He runs for, in case France wants a king back, he always runs in every election.
Louis the CK?
He's like Louis the CK. At this point, Roman numerically wise, it's almost there. I think he's Louis the 28th, and he keeps running on the monarchist ticket. So, just in case they want him back.
So he's still... Now, here's the thing. Yeah. He has to start banging chicks left and right, because, you know, the name has to carry on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he does. I mean, who doesn't want to be part of a potential royalty?
I know I don't.
Let me get one of those white cloths to wash down this.
Pedro, drinking.
I'm in, yay!
Bring it on the show, yeah! I'm afraid
Ruby grapefruit!
I'm afraid to hit buttons now because they're labeled, but they may not play. I can see what it's supposed to. Oh, applause.
There we go.
All right!
Oh, it's working!
So socialism gets a bad name in America, and when it starts coming over in the 19th century, there's a bit of a shield in America, because we have so many white collar jobs by 1900.
Captain America.
Not many people want to be socialist.
Pussies.
Yeah. So yeah, but we do bring in socialism.
White collar jobs, those are the office jobs, right?
Yeah,
blue collar is the one.
Tech guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get it confused.
Mm-hmm. Right. What color? Those are the guys in suits.
Is there any other color?
Plaid.
That I should?
Lumberjacks.
I think cops Lumberjack are blue collar too.
Cops are blue collar.
Yeah.
Cops are blue collar.
Yeah.
Doctors white collar.
White collar. Yeah.
Camouflage color. It's military.
That's military. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Camo color. So the way we introduce socialism in America is in the 1900s we call it progressivism.
Okay.
Yeah, but we like that word. That's a good word. Yeah. And that's when we start bringing in all these progressive things. And the United States is already about 25-30% socialist.
Like the Cure or Susie and the Banshees, like that type of...
No, not that kind of... No prog rock is. No? No.
Okay.
I never... damn it! I was so
close! You got him with the prog rock.
I always thought that's...
Oh, 40 minutes! God dang
so
it!
So good!
I never understood the Cure. I never got the Cure, how people like the Cure.
I'll explain it to you later.
In Excess is part of that, that thing. Depeche Mode. Depeche Mode is another one.
Duran.
I mean, so we're not going to the Dream Theater concert? Is that what you're telling me here?
No. I never got it. Never understood it. Duran's another band. I have this conversation with Angel all the time.
More pop than progressive, but
yeah. And he goes, well, it's not for you. But the thing about Duran is that chicks dug it. So wanted to be around the chicks,
yeah,
you'd be around the Duran.
Tears for Fears.
Yeah.
Midnight Oil? More is Midnight pop. Oil?
No, like... I mean, the biggest bands for progressive that I can think of are definitely, you know, The Cure and, like, Susan and Banshees, The Smiths.
Rush.
Yeah.
Rush is in?
Rush progressive?
Yeah.
Sounds like more prog rock than Rush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rush definitely progressive.
Rush? And it's time to
I can't stand the...
I thought they're rock and roll.
Who?
Rush.
No, that's prog rock for sure.
Really?
Eight-minute opuses?
Wow, I've never heard that. I've never heard that described.
Wait. If you play the keyboard, that's progressive?
It's
progressive.
Eddie Van Halen and Jump.
Oh, yeah. Van Halen's progressive
as shit.
And that prog rock.
Trying to stop.
No, you can say shit. That's fine.
You can say shit. No, I'm trying not to, though.
Just fine.
Okay, so now we're in progressive. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Socialism is progressive.
Right, socialism is now progressivism. And that from there, we get public schools, roads, fire, you know, police.
Okay.
What year are we talking about?
1900, Teddy Roosevelt.
Now we're in 1900 with Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, 1902, 1903 with Teddy Roosevelt. The Food and Drug Administration.
I have an autographed picture of Teddy Roosevelt from 1903.
Really?
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite presidents.
Or is it Teddy? Isn't it a baseball player? Are you getting them confused?
No.
It's president. Is Teddy Roosevelt for real?
Yeah.
That is so
cool. And I'll tell you something interesting. It was signed to his bodyguard, Sergeant Cornelius McDermott. Oh. And for Christmas, and it says it's a family heirloom. It's been passed down to me, and it says Merry Xmas, and he wrote X-Mass.
Oh,
and so that's been a big, you know, like I don't want to get into that. But yeah, they're like, oh, bring the Christ back into Christmas. Well, it was good enough for Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, you know? No. So. Well, it's good enough for Teddy, that works.
X means Christ. It's supposed to. It's
he was drunk when Christ. He did. He meant to do a cross.
That's a war on Christmas.
Actually,
war
on Christmas. Actually, the more research we do now, we realize that Jesus was actually crucified on an X. That's the actual symbol.
Really?
It was, yeah, because
that's pretty metal.
Hoisting someone up on that cross is just practically impossible physically. It's easier to just put them on the X.
There you go.
Wait, no,
crucifixion was on an X.
Here's the thing: you nail the hands, and then you put the foot on top of the other.
Yeah, and then you're lifting that thing.
What's that called? Is a St. Charles cross or something like that, or the name of that cross where it's an X?
Oh yeah, it's the Scottish one that they use. St. Andrew's cross.
Yeah. Andrew's, right. Okay.
And that's he's actually most likely crucified on X, not on a T.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody want to introduce that to Twitter and see?
No. I'm not jumping that one.
That's more metal.
I think. That's pretty.
Yo, I'm gonna get crucified on an X, bro. Actually, that St. Andrew's cross has way more in common these days now with BDSM sex.
Exactly. That's how I know it. That's how I know it.
Those Scots are into some crazy stuff.
I did a Google image search, and let me say,
you're gonna have to rinse that phone in Clorox. Okay, so we're Teddy Roosevelt.
So that's where you get it all. Most of those things are socialist. The fact that there's a Food and Drug Administration to make sure they're not selling you expired food.
Okay.
Or they have to put expiration dates on these things. Before they were just packing spoiled meat into cans and shipping it off. And oh well, if you got the bad one, because there was no overhead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because of Teddy Roosevelt that we got minimum wage and workman's comp. Well, FDR was minimum wage, but different Roosevelt. But, you know, this idea later on, workman's comp, the 40-hour work day, and if not, you get overtime. Ending child labor, all that stuff is socialist because it's interfering with business.
We're living in those dark ages right now. Like, like when you can't buy an edible and know like how many milligrams of THC that you're getting.
Correct.
Yeah.
These like, savages.
We need just, regulation on that.
No, we definitely do because I've had a gummy that it's like this one's nice. Then I have one that's like. I feel nothing. And then I have another one that I'm on another planet.
Yeah.
And once it becomes legal nationwide, then it can come under the Food and Drug Administration and actually get regulated.
Yeah, that's but right. Then they're going to start putting chemicals and start messing with it.
And autism in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're already putting chemicals in it. The FDA makes sure we know what chemicals are being put in there.
Yeah, but did they really disclose everything?
Probably not, no.
We're getting a little too conspiracy, though, on there.
Yeah.
But so a lot of the stuff that we are just commonly understand, the fact that when you get paid overtime, it's because of progressivism from Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay, so now Bernie Sanders is in the.
That's definitely your new socialism, yeah.
So what's his angle on this? It's just
He's been talking about this stuff since 1903.
Okay. Actually, yeah.
So he was with Teddy Roosevelt.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I got you, Teddy.
Bernie's been a hardcore socialist.
He was since a senior mentor.
Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt. So, yeah, I mean, he's just a continuation of the progress of what socialism or what socialism wants to be.
So, what is the fear?
Bernie loves The Cure.
No, he doesn't. I can't see Bernie liking The Cure.
I don't know with him.
Bernie is.
He seems like a soul man.
He hangs out with Killer Mike.
Yeah. I see him like an REO Speedwagon type dude. Maybe Chicago.
Crespo's got the point. He hangs out with Killer Mike. So he's into that Motown.
Oh, he does?
Killer Mike took him to Roscoe's Chicken.
He marched with Martin Luther King. He's into that Motown soul.
Yo, yeah. Dude. You think
the Commodores.
He got some Miami bass.
Uh-huh. I like easy like Sunday morning.
Everlasting bass. Just coming out to that. So.
It's all about the you. It's all about the you.
Yeah, and he's for universal income. He's for the single payer health care. He's for extended education for everyone.
I'm still
as well.
Thinking of Bernie Sanders dancing to like Two Live Crew. Like
his. I played you know that when I say chicken, you say head chicken. I played that for my son yesterday. He thought it was crazy. It's like this is terrible.
Yep,
your son is 4 years old.
He is 11. Oh.
That's still pretty funny. Yeah.
I made him. I was like, if you don't say, when I say chicken, mm-hmm. if you don't say head, I'm taking your new Nintendo Switch away.
Oh, chicken head, chicken head.
That's a good way to get the kids.
I don't play.
Okay, so Bernie's on it.
Yeah, that's what Bernie's position is about.
And that's what he's for.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's no one has a concrete economic theory. It's hard to have that. You know, it's really hard to have that.
What would work?
That's a tough question. It's because on paper, all of them work. On paper, pure capitalism works. Socialism, communism. On paper, fascism works in some areas, you know?
Yeah.
It's once you apply it, whenever you're going to apply a new system, eggs are going to get broken to make this omelet. And then now you're having to figure out mathematically which eggs are okay, what number of eggs are okay to get broken. And that's where it's a problem. At the end of the day, they're all going to be terrible. Because some eggs are going to get broken. So, you got to willingly say, I'm okay with this group phasing out or dying for this to be implemented. So, that's the hard part of all of it.
And I feel like to answer your question earlier about what's the fear in socialism in America, socialism in some ways runs counter to American exceptionalism, which says you can go out there, you work hard enough, you can have it all. You can literally have everything. And socialism means then now I have to share this stuff with people. And people don't want to, they want to have their stuff and keep it and not share it.
Because I feel myself like, okay.
We're just
capitalism. I work hard for what I want, stuff like that. But I've never had an ambition of I need to have it all.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And neither have I.
No. I've always been like, I just need...
Enough.
Mm. Most people are like that.
And if I get a little bit more, if I have the opportunity that I can, help somebody out, then great. I'm not in that position yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully in the future I would be, but, you know, whatever time I can and stuff like that, like, you know.
Right. And I'm definitely for the whole post-secondary coverage. I don't mind, I'm all about education and improving people. I have no problem myself paying a little bit extra so that your kids don't have to worry about college tuition.
Yeah.
Or that my kids or anyone's kids can just go and, or even someone who wants to go back to college, they don't have to worry about the financials on that if they want to better themselves in some way.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, I do believe that if you employ that, colleges should get more selective then.
What about service in the military?
Service in the military, what do you mean?
Oh,
that whole, like, you have to risk yourself to die before you get free college?
Or do 2 years. Everybody should do service for 2 years.
Like in South Korea.
That gets a little bit too Einzwei dry for me, honestly. I'm a little...
Really?
I mean, yeah, because...
It's not, we're going to put you in the military 2 years to fight. It's just 2 years to...
Right, which I understand, but how much... I'm already paying taxes. How much more of a citizen do I have to be? Gotcha. Okay, I'm already paying taxes. I'm already voting. I'm already not committing crimes.
Are you paying taxes or are your parents paying taxes?
If you have money, you're buying stuff.
I'm a 33-year-old man with two kids and a house.
That's what I'm saying.
even as an 18-year-old, you go to McDonald's to get a burger. You're paying taxes. They're getting their money.
And most of these kids, they get it out of their paychecks.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of underprivileged kids, and they have to, at 15, 16, they have to get a job.
Well, and then when you're 16 and you have a job, you're not paying your taxes. They're taking them.
Yeah.
You get your paycheck and the taxes.
But they don't get any benefits of the taxes, those kids.
Yeah.
So, they're already paying their taxes.
Yeah, then you want to be the military two-pager? You fascist kid.
No, I'm a fascist. I don't think there needs to be.
No, Pedro's a fascist. You're cool, dude.
I don't think there needs to be any more incentive. But I think there's also, not just universities, though. It needs to be extended to all education. Tech schools need to have coverage, too. You want to go into cosmetology. You want to go to be an electrician. That's fine. I don't mind that. I don't mind it all being covered, all exceptionalities. Yeah. And I have nothing against someone who wants to be in the military, but I don't think you have to be in the military in order to get an education. You've already, you've already gotten good grades and gotten, gotten enough to be accepted to this top college. Why do you have to do anything extra at that point? If you're already a brain who's supposed to be at MIT, why should your financial level stop you from helping to invent the next great thing? That's my point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But can't they bring that next big thing if they serve in the military as well?
and then that next big thing will be dropped on both of our heads if they invent them in the military.
I mean, look, what is it? Israel does it.
Israel does it, and
South Korea.
South Korea does it.
Yeah, two years.
South Korea does
Japan
it.
Japan does it.
If they're allowed to have an army, yes.
They don't have it.
They're still not allowed to have one.
They have a secret army.
They have a small one. They're allowed to have a small one.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think it's great. As somebody who went into the military when I was 17 years old.
Okay.
17 years old. A woman who was 23 could not have sex with me legally. And right. I was serving in the United States Navy. But it taught me.
And you could drink, right? I couldn't drink on bases. I thought you could
drink. Couldn't
yeah,
gamble.
Actually, yeah. At that time, when I graduated from boot camp at Navy NTC San Diego, if they would let you drink on base, just because if they didn't, you would just go to Tijuana and then get in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, right. So it was damage control,
but. Now, in retrospect, I can't believe they even allowed that.
Yeah. Did you ever see a donkey show in Tijuana?
I never went to Tijuana.
You didn't have to. They let them drink on the base.
Did they bring a donkey to base? I didn't drink. Yeah. I didn't drink back then. I was such a square.
Fair enough.
But 17 years old, you go in. And the point I was trying to make.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
When I rudely interrupted
I was
going
to ask you, since you've got the military experience.
It teaches you. Charlie Murphy said it best. At one time in a man's life, he has to be totally under the care of somebody who doesn't give a crap about him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's prison or the military, you have to be under the control of somebody who does not love you, and that builds character. That makes you a man or one of the things.
Because you're gonna. Figure it out and be like, okay.
Yeah, when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody's beating a trash can telling you get up, you're like, what did I just do? And like there's no choice. Like I'm gonna sleep in. Yeah. I'm gonna sleep in. No, there's no there's none of that. You do what you have to do and that builds discipline and
Had any interest in joining the military then or no?
I think everybody has at one time, right?
Yeah, I thought about it. I thought about the Navy for a little bit. My uncle was in the Navy and everything, so I thought about it. But then it just didn't happen.
I mean,
granted, by the time I graduated, it was 2003 and everyone was in Iraq, and I was like, maybe that's not the best idea for me.
My father kept pushing me to the Navy, but I had no interest in the Navy. The only one that I had interest was the Air Force.
Right.
And I almost signed to the Air Force.
Fear of heights.
Yeah.
That would have been a problem.
I wouldn't do it. They're like, nope.
No, but my mother said, it's like, why don't you just go to jail? I swear to God, my mother said that. Why don't you just go to jail?
She got that from Charlie Murphy.
Yeah. I go, why? Why you say that? And she goes, you don't like people yelling at you. You don't listen to people. So why are you going to go and get yelled at and
It changes your mindset, though. It allows you to cope with that, to cope with just to surrender. Like, okay, like he is this person and I'm this person. This is his role. This is my role. And I just got to do, you know, my role and he's doing his role and, you know, I'm not going to like it, but I got to do it.
Peasants.
It's
the peasants. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
The nobles, the knights.
The oblige.
Now that I'm saying it, it doesn't sound great. Yeah. It sounds worse.
You said, yeah, you said it. We're like, yeah, you know, he controls me. I'm his little puppet. And
you know, it made me, it gave me the ability to cope with, can I say a-hole?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, asshole, like, it's fine. To cope with a boss who's an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've dealt with worse than you. Fine.
You got nothing.
Yeah.
Be out of here soon. Play the Vanilla Ice.
Okay.
I'm out of here.
I think we should put the wheels down on this one, too. We're going to
start bringing the wheels
down. Yeah, let's bring it down. We've got up to the early socialism. Let's just, you know, let's just start. I guess we fade out while babbling. That's the big thing, yeah. Let's talk about types of soup that we like, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
What's your favorite soup, Dan?
I'm a big fan of minestrone.
Minestrone is your thing?
Yeah, minestrone is my thing. What about you?
Is it? I like the Brock and Cheddar has become a solid one. That's a nice solid one.
That's a good one.
Solid one. Good.
Ryan?
Before I developed an adult onset allergy to shellfish, lobster bisque was my jam.
That's a good choice.
Now soup. I will violently vomit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I hope I never.
Chris, you got a favorite soup?
French onion.
French onion with the cheese right on top there.
Gruyere cheese.
Wow. That's
a strong choice.
Dude, that's some classic soup selection we got here.
That's almost a meal. Like there's a lot of preparation in that soup. You don't just put a lot of ingredients and go. There's like the soup and then there's the cooking part of it too.
Yeah, yeah, I put it like a salamander cheese or something or a boiler or some sort. Yeah.
It's a two-step thing.
It's a complicated soup.
It is complicated. It's a very complicated
soup. It's amazing
soup.
That the number one most popular soup, the chicken noodle, did not make the list.
I'm not 12 anymore.
Yeah, get out of my face.
Yeah, my kid likes chicken noodle.
It's good. It's comforting.
Did your my grandmother used to put an egg in it?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
She would put an egg in it, like a boiled egg and just...
It's like
give you half an egg. Kind
it's
of
like
thing.
Ramen style, right? Ramen,
yeah.
Oh, there's some good looking ramen soups, like where they have the egg and the vegetables.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's all like everything's in its own place. Yes. It's beautiful.
Dude, it looks nice, and then you try and make it at home, and be like,
impossible.
Yeah.
How's that White Claw?
Good. I think that was it.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. We ended up with the soup talk, everybody.
We talked soup.
This has been soup talk.
This has been soup talk.
That's the best.
It's been Devils in the Details, everybody. Feel free to reach out to us via email, devilsinthedetailsshow@gmail.com. Facebook, check out PFT Media. Our shows are available, like you know, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. Big much love to all the shows and the brotherhood of the PFD Media. Lady Reptastic is in now?
Yeah.
Look at you, so proud
of
that.
Yeah, we just put out episode 3, man.
Look at that.
It was great. That was a tough one to wrangle. That took literally months of negotiations.
Really?
Yeah. It was tough, but I'm very happy to have it going.
Okay, that's good.
Getting some great feedback on it, too.
That's good. All right, kids. Follow me on Twitter, Rican Gorilla, at twitter.com. Right? That's how I say
that's
it?
You are. That's you is. Right. You is that.
Do you say Twitter.com? No, you say follow me at
Twitter. Just follow me on Twitter.
On Twitter, Rican Gorilla.
They know.
Dan P. Comedy on Twitter.
Dan P. Comedy and also FSC Wrestling at Twitter as well.
That's right.
Follow my cosplay wrestling.
That's right. Ryan introduced me to Twitter, but then he decided not to be on Twitter.
Yep. I'm on MySpace. I still have one space in my top 8. If you think you can fill it, hit me up.
Holding strong to that spot.
All right.
All right, kids. Until the next time. Peace.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Thank you. Good night. You've been terrific, really. We love you. Thank you for being so special tonight. And putting up with the rain. And putting up with us. We'll be right back.
a PFT Media production.